Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of FFS, another Brexit podcast. I'm Richard Brooks, standing in for Jason.
And I'm Abby Tomlinson, standing in for Amanda.
As usual, we're here to bring you different opinions and perspectives on the ever-changing and ever-stressful Brexit debate.
Indeed, and this week we'll be joined by the Deputy Leader of Lib Dem MEPs, Louisa Porritt, who's also a councillor in Camden. Louisa was elected as an MEP for London this year after an extremely successful campaign by the Lib Dems that meant they won 27% of the London vote.
It'll be really interesting to get her insight on what those in Europe in particular think of Brexit after her time in Brussels.
And what a week this has been. This past week, the FFS team have been literally all over the place. We've hosted events in Bristol and Edinburgh, had Jason speaking at Byland Festival, Richard was with Labour students in Brighton, and another of our co-founders, Amanda, is currently representing FFS in Austria.
Amanda is obviously a much better representative for the United Kingdom than certain other people talking to European leaders on our behalf at the moment.
Of course.
This week, we've also had promising news following Jeremy Corbyn meeting with other opposition party MPs to try and come up with a combined effort to stop a no-deal Brexit.
My favourite part of this was that James Cleverly said that by doing this, Corbyn was offering chaos, delay and uncertainty, which is literally all we've had from his party for the last 3 years.
I mean, the lack of self-awareness, as always, is astounding. But the headlines out of this are that all of the opposition parties have met, they've agreed to stop no deal, and that a quote-unquote legislative route is the best way forward, and it's definitely a big step in the right direction, right?
Obviously. And we've also had the news that Boris Johnson is expected to nominate certain prominent Brexit supporters for the House of Lords, including businessmen who bankrolled the Leave campaign.
That's right. The same people that perpetuated the myth about unelected bureaucrats from the European Union during the 2016 referendum are about to be very happily becoming unelected bureaucrats themselves.
It is a bit ridiculous. And I think it really suggests Boris Johnson's lack of respect for democracy if he can ignore elected MPs, ignore his constituents, and float this idea of shutting down Parliament, whilst at the same time trying to pack an unelected chamber with his supporters.
As always, the People's Vote campaign continues unabated whilst the Brexit elite continue to astonish, astound and annoy. This week also marks 2 months till Brexit week, so it's shaping up to be a completely relaxing couple of months for everyone involved.
I mean, on the bright side, at least everyone will be able to come up with a topical Halloween costume for October 31st. I think I'm going to be the falling pound.
I honestly want to get into this a little bit more. So are you going to dress up as a pound coin and then just drop to the ground?
Or like I'll be so like burnt out from more Brexit. I'll just be like, I'll just lie on the floor for entirety of Halloween. And I'll be like, I'm the falling pound. I've fallen over.
I like the idea of you just like kind of on the floor at a house party and someone's like, Abby, you're
someone
right.
Someone get me a drink.
The exchange rate, guys, the exchange rate. Well, I think the prospect of leaving the European Union without a deal is scary enough for me anyway.
But we're not anywhere near giving up yet, of course. At the end of this week, the People's Vote campaign will be in Newcastle for one of the Let Us Be Heard rallies, where supporters, politicians and activists will come together to fight for our right to be heard on Brexit.
And as usual, we'll have an incredible FFS activist there to represent the voices of young people across this great and fair land.
And if you aren't in Newcastle on Sunday, this Saturday, our co-founder, Amanda Chetwynd-Carrison, and mobilisation officer, Izzy Daly, will be speaking at Big Ten Ideas Festival. There are still tickets available and it's only £15 for students. So if you've got no plans in London on Saturday, you know where you need to be.
It does feel like whilst the rest of the country, or at least a lot of the country, are off on holiday, the FFS are kind of just smashing it up and down the country, right? Like, we have been on a lot of trains and we'll continue to be.
So much stuff, it's completely insane.
Well, I mean, we only have weeks to stop a no deal and to deliver a people's vote, so we won't sleep until then. No. Or if we do, it'll be in train carriages.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This week, we are thrilled to have with us Louisa Porritt, the Lib Dem MEP for London and the Deputy Leader of the Liberal Democrat MEPs. She was also a councillor in Camden, so we're very happy she's taken some time out of her very busy schedule to come and talk to us. Thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all.
So first of all, Louisa, we always start by asking our guests to give someone an FFS award for something ridiculous they've done in the context of Brexit. It's always a tough competition, but who would yours go to this week?
Well, I think it would have to be Ian Duncan Smith. I mean, he'd probably be a contender for this prize most weeks. But his latest intervention has been to criticise the Archbishop of Canterbury today, saying that he's trying to destabilise Boris Johnson's position by suggesting we should have a citizens' assembly. I think the thing that really destabilises Boris Johnson's position is the fact he has a majority in Parliament of one, not a citizens' assembly.
That is a very good answer. I mean, it sort of is astounding on a very basic level, the amount of otherwise, I thought, sort of unimpeachable people, including now the Church of England, the kind of the Brexit elite will be happy and willing to attack just for daring to have a different opinion to them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's ridiculous. I mean, we're in a polarised country. There's no question about that. But that means that you've got to be open and willing to listen to the other side as well. And there's a very strong pro-European movement happening in the UK since the referendum. I think it's stronger than ever. So just shutting down debate and pretending that those voices don't exist is not constructive for our democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of on debate, so we're particularly interested, obviously you've spent a fair amount of time in Brussels over the last couple of months since your election. What's the mood like out there? Is everyone kind of looking at all of the no deal coverage and some of the stuff that's happening here and being a bit like, what is going on? Like, what's everyone feeling over there?
Yeah, I think some of the developments over the summer in the last month or two in particular have really astounded some of my colleagues in the European Parliament from other member states. Just particularly the kind of blustering approach that Boris Johnson has been taking. So him trying to pull all of our officials out of Brussels, that is not the kind of thing you do if you're serious about having a negotiation. It's just childish. So I think they're quite astounded by the approach that's being taken. And it seems there's kind of no limit to just kind of how shocking Boris Johnson will be and how he's handling this, including the latest thing of refusing to pay the $39 billion divorce bill, which is money that we owe other EU member states if we were to leave, which obviously I don't want to happen anyway. But on a more positive note, I would say from my first month in July, there's definitely a recognition across Europe that there's also a strong pro-European voice in the UK and that that shouldn't be ignored, and that actually the government's not an inherently stable one. So if we have a general election, anything can happen, and that could lead to a situation where we are able to remain in the EU.
Well, that's exciting. Okay.
Yes.
And obviously, like, you and the Lib Dems talk a lot about the importance of stopping Brexit. And there has been a lot of debate about this in the press lately. But do you think the Lib Dems need to or should work with Corbyn to whatever extent in order to stop Brexit? Because, say, if Corbyn becoming Prime Minister was the only viable way to stop Brexit, would you be on board with this?
So I think the first thing to say is that Jo Swinson is absolutely right that regardless of what the Lib Dems do when it comes to who heads up, if there is, if it comes to it, an emergency government of national unity, it's not about how the Lib Dems, whether they would support or not support Jeremy Corbyn leading that. It's the fact that there are moderate, Remain-minded Conservatives that have already ruled that out, and indeed some of the independent MPs like Anna Soubry. So Corbyn still wouldn't have the numbers, even if the Lib Dems were to support it. So what Jo Swinson is saying is you've just got to have a realistic plan. And, you know, she's putting her own personal ambitions to hopefully be Prime Minister aside and saying very happy for it to be someone who is respected across the House in recognition that this is a situation that requires cross-party working.
And so obviously today, the you know, the big headline for, I guess, our side of the argument, as it were, in terms of those in favour of a people's vote, was that a bunch of opposition leaders, including Jo Swinson, got together and agreed that there was going to be, they were going to work together to stop in particular a no deal, and that the quote unquote legislative route is the best way forward. So it feels like now that Labour are taking a bit of a step back from what was their red line, right, around have to be Corbyn as a caretaker Prime Minister, and in the case of Ivanka. I'm assuming that's good, like that's kind of music to your ears, and that's something certainly we were quite excited about when we saw how, because it could have gone quite badly, that meeting, right? But it doesn't appear to have.
Yeah, it could have. I'm relieved that it hasn't, because obviously time is running out and every day is critical now in this process. I think well, what we've seen from previous attempts to block no deal, for example, and try and avert disaster in the past, is that the most successful initiatives have come from backbench MPs from all sides of the House. So if party leaders of all parties, including my own, are willing to kind of put self-interest aside and be open to those initiatives coming from, you know, wherever they do in Parliament, we should look at it, look at the proposals and look at them closely and do whatever we can to avert no deal.
Yeah.
And Brexit, yeah. Obviously.
No, of course. And it feels like the game in town looks similar to kind of the Oliver Letwin sort of style stuff, where MPs would take control of the order paper again and then do another extension of Article 50 and all that sort of stuff. Is that your view? Obviously the kind of the Lib Dem MEP caucus, I'm going to call it, is not an insignificant voice in how a fair amount of this is going to play out. Is that your sort of view as to the best way to do that? That with like the MP should take control of the order paper, that at some point they should legislate for a people's vote as a part of an extension to Article 50? Do you see that as the main way of doing that, or are there other things? Like, are you, for instance, pro-revoke? Like, what do you think is the best step forward?
So Joe earlier today set out this triple lock to avoid no deal and hopefully stop Brexit. And there were various proposals that were laid out as part of that. One is the legislative route, and that was the first thing that she suggested. Secondly is this idea of a temporary government of national unity that could seek to stop no deal and bring about a general election. Mm-hmm. And then the third is to be open to the idea of revoking Article 50 in the event that we are right up to the cliff edge and there are no other alternatives.
Yeah.
Our official party policy is still to have a people's vote.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we want to see happen out of that legislative process is to try and legislate for a people's vote to happen. And that's also something that a government of national unity could could try and do. But you mentioned an extension to Article 50, and that's absolutely critical to all of this as well, in that obviously the clock is running down. We've only got until the end of October, and all of these processes might take some time, certainly to reach a clear resolution. So if a new government can be put in place that will make that request for an extension to Article 50, some of the work that we've been doing on the European side as MEPs is talking to our colleagues across Europe, people who will be influential in the negotiations, to say, please be open to that extension, because we do just need time to sort this out. And I think even the French, who were quite hardline about it last time, would be open to it if we have a good reason, i.e. a democratic event.
Yeah. So we can get an extension if there's a democratic event broadly, you're hearing. But if we just want another random one just to try and sort our stuff out, that's less of an option, right?
Well, I think these kind of incremental extensions don't serve anyone, actually, because that's just more uncertainty for our businesses that are trying to scenario plan. And that has a real impact on jobs and investment. And it creates uncertainty for other EU member states as well, and for their economies. So I don't think it's in anyone's interest to just do another 6 months and say that's for more negotiations. And certainly there's no appetite for, a kind of rerun of the negotiation anyway.
Yeah,
I actually support what our European partners are saying, which is, we understand that the political situation is evolving in the UK and need to be open to that change, but we're not just going to kind of incrementally delay while you decide what sort of Brexit you might want.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
And in terms of like having this sort of democratic event, this people's vote, and obviously the Lib Dems ran quite a successful campaign in London, where remaining in the EU has always been the majority opinion, right? But how do you work on convincing northern communities that have quite high percentage of votes for the Brexit Party that they should change their minds?
I think that's a really difficult one. I think not everyone will change their minds. And I think it's actually more of a two-step process. I would say the priority is to stop Brexit in the first instance. And this is Liberal Democrat policy as well. And then what we need to do is have a new government in place that is actually focused on bringing about change and introducing policies that will address the real concerns that people have. You know, there has been chronic underinvestment in some of these communities areas by successive governments over time, actually. And so it's understandable that in that context, people didn't want to vote for the status quo because they haven't seen their lot improve.
Yeah.
So I think the answers lie much more in domestic policies with more investment in health and education and policing and, reviving youth centres. And addressing some of the real challenges that we're facing, because actually, unfortunately, Brexit is just a big distraction from all of those challenges.
And do you think, this is sort of what I often see, like in the Northwest communities that have particularly been devastated by austerity, they tend to be the communities that have like increased votes for Brexit, right? And do you think the Lib Dems kind of need to take some responsibility for those years of austerity that may have caused the anger in these communities towards government and things like that? Or do you think it's not really anything to do with that?
I don't think it's fair to solely blame the Lib Dems for that.
No, like austerity as a whole would probably be more.
Yeah, so we were only in government as a minority partner for 5 years. And actually, austerity had also started under Labour prior to that. And Labour's spending plans involved austerity as well. There was no dissent about the fact that whatever government came to power, there was going to need to be some. We'd just had a financial crisis. But clearly, austerity has gone too far, too fast, particularly since 2015, when the Conservatives have been in power alone. And I think it's become very evident just how harsh those cuts have been. You know, you mentioned that I'm a Camden councillor as well. Local government is on its knees. There are very few options available now to provide basic services. And these are the sorts of decisions they're having to make. You know, do we want to invest in our schools, or do we want to keep people safe? You know, these should not be mutually exclusive options.
No, absolutely. And I'm just interested in particular, so you've talked to a fair amount about kind of economic uncertainty. One of the things that I imagine is quite kind of something that you see or hear of quite regularly is uncertainty, in particular when it comes to EU citizens and kind of the uncertainty they've faced over the last 3 years here in the UK. And obviously the kind of, I'm going to call it an announcement, but obviously it was more of a leak in terms of what the Home Office are potentially planning in terms of that sort of transition period that was going to be originally in place to ensure EU citizens' rights being cut to kind of the day after October the 31st. What kind of was the response in Brussels, if there was any, to what sounded like quite a terrifying piece of news in Brussels? But is there anything that you're hearing from kind of people that you represent who are even more concerned than they already are?
Mm. So do you mean the plans to end free movement or the rights of existing EU citizens in the UK? Well, I think it's tragic that such a large proportion of our population, 3 million in the UK is the estimate, have had to live with this uncertainty for 3 years. And it's had a real impact on people's lives. And these are people who are the most affected and were never given a say in the first place in the referendum. I've even seen it as a councillor. There was a Spanish couple that lived around the corner from me that moved back to Madrid last summer because they said, you know, we just don't feel welcome in this country anymore. And that's, I think so, that's sad. Awful. Yeah. Yeah. And so the latest noises from the government obviously don't help. It just adds to that unwelcoming environment, but that was already set in motion by Theresa May, unfortunately, with her hostile environment. And I think even though she was supposedly a Remainer, she was still quite Eurosceptic in various ways, especially about immigration. And, you know, I think we should be embracing the amazing contribution that EU citizens make to this country, not just from an economic perspective, but in terms of making our society richer and more diverse. And Priti Patel just wants to pull the drawbridge up on everyone. Well, it's not realistic anyway, because we actually have an economy that is dependent on immigration. And that's what's been so dishonest about the leave campaign from the outset, is that we will still need immigration wherever it comes from.
Yeah, of course.
Even if they succeed in pursuing this post-Brexit world, which I really hope they won't. So we're doing all we can as well in the European Parliament to try and protect EU citizens' rights should the worst happen. So one of the things we did was meet with the group, the 3 million, and British in Europe, and we are going to be lobbying other EU member states to unilaterally guarantee EU citizens' rights, even if our government won't do the same.
And finally, we know that predicting politics has been pretty impossible for the last few years. But if you had to make a prediction on what you think will happen, not necessarily what you want to happen, but what you think will happen, what would you say?
Well, recently, my mood has been a lot more dim. I'm not going to lie to you about that, because Boris Johnson is clearly very determined to pursue Brexit at any cost. And, you know, I mentioned the pulling officials out of Brussels earlier. I think that's a sign that he's not serious about a deal as well. So the thing that scares me is we're in a much worse position than we were under Theresa May. Obviously, I don't want to see Brexit in any form, but no deal is so much worse, right? And at least she was looking at something that would protect EU citizens' rights. And now everything is being thrown up in the air again. So it's a very daunting prospect for the people whose lives will be most affected by it. However, there is still a window of opportunity. And the thing is, my mood changes on an almost daily basis at the moment, along with the, you know, whatever the news of the day is, basically. And we're kind of right at the heart of the uncertainty as MEPs as well. And there is still an opportunity to stop this, not just no deal, but Brexit altogether. And I think if Parliament can organise across different parties and put aside tribal loyalties, all of us, obviously I can't affect things, I'm in from that perspective, I'm in the European Parliament, not the UK Parliament, then we can still avert disaster, and actually we can still bring about a general election or a referendum that could lead to us remaining in the EU. So I haven't given up the fight yet. And if it comes to it, I'll still be fighting to the bitter end anyway.
A clarion call of a protest there. Yeah. Thank you so much. And that comes to the end of our interview. Thanks so much for taking the time to spend time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
No, not a problem at all. And please do continue to fight the good fight for a people's vote and to stop Brexit.
I will. You can count on it.
Thank you very much.
So once again, thank you for listening to our podcast. In a time when the debate is especially cluttered, we hope we've offered at least some clarity.
And join us next week, as I'm sure you'll soon be able to hear the increasing stress and strain in our voices as the Brexit deadline looms ever closer.
That's a nice cheery note to end on there. But it's not over yet, though.
We are nothing if not optimists here. Please do tell your friends. Please do tell your family members. Please do share FFS Another Podcast on all of your social media channels.
Indeed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.